I've entitled my homily this morning, After the Exile, After the Exile. And I want to begin by reading something to you, and after I've read it, I'll tell you who it's by. The future of the church, once again and always, will be reshaped by saints, by men and women, that is, whose minds probe deeper than the slogans of the day, who see more than others see, because their lives embrace a wider reality. Unselfishness, which makes men and women free, is attained only through the patience of small daily acts of self-denial. From the crisis of today, the church of tomorrow will emerge. A church that has lost much, she will become small and will have to start afresh, more or less from the beginning. But in all the changes at which one might guess, the church will find her essence afresh and with full conviction in that which was always at the center of her life: faith in the triune God, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, in the presence of the Spirit until the end of the world. Now please listen especially to this next bit. And so it seems certain to me that the church is facing very hard times. The real crisis has scarcely begun. We will have to count on terrific upheavals, but I am equally certain about what will remain at the end. Not the church of the political cult, which is dead already, but the church of faith. It may well no longer be the dominant social power to the extent that she was until recently, but it will enjoy a fresh blossoming and be seen as our true home, where men and women will find life and hope beyond death. In 1969, in a radio interview in Germany, this was part of an interview that at that time, Father Joseph Ratzinger, who eventually would become Pope Benedict XVI, gave. I think these are very prophetic words. And they are words that are filled with hope. They are words that are filled with optimism. They are words for a people who need to think, what will it be like after the exile? For I think the crisis is upon us in a greater way now than back in 1969. And part of that crisis is COVID-19. Part of what the Lord, I think, is doing, and I'm not the only one who's considering this, is this is a time of deep and profound refining of the church. Something that the Lord has done repeatedly throughout history. If you have your missalette handy and you could turn to page 156, we have a clear expression of this in the reading that Michelle gave to us from the prophet Ezekiel. Remember that Ezekiel was writing during a time of exile. Think back to the year 597 BC. This is when the Babylonians came into Jerusalem, and young men like Ezekiel were taken into exile. And from Babylon, where they are in captivity, Ezekiel is given this profound vision. A vision where he recognizes that God is going to do something to bring the nation together. As it says in that first paragraph, I will take the people of Israel from the nations among which they have gone, and I will gather them from every quarter, and I will bring them to their own land. Now remember, they're in exile. But here God is promising he is going to bring them back together. But then we need to ask the question, why are they in exile? And the next paragraph gives the answer. They shall never again defile themselves with their idols and their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions. I will save them from all the apostasies into which they have fallen, and I will cleanse them. Israel was all too often conforming itself to the world. And hasn't that been true of the church? Think of the time that we have come through. Think of the terrible sexual abuse scandal that has affected the church. Think of the diminishing of the true faith that is prevalent in so many places. Think of the fact that a couple of years ago, when a survey was done of American Catholics, that over 75% said that they do not believe in the real presence. Think of the times in which we are living. There has been an apostasy. But this is also a time of great invitation. This is a time of great opportunity, which Karl Ratzinger, after he had been ordained for 19 years back in 1969, spoke about the opportunities of these days. And let me read again what he said. The church that will come out of this crisis is not the church of the political cult, which is dead already, but the church of faith. It may no longer be the dominant social power to the extent she has been until recently, but it will enjoy a fresh blossoming. Now, with that in mind, look at the third paragraph of that reading from Ezekiel. My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall follow my ordinances, be careful to observe my statutes. Then they shall live in the land that I gave to my servant Jacob. What a contrast from the second paragraph. Rather than being an apostate people, they are going to be a faithful people. Rather than being a people that are conforming themselves to the world, they'll be a people transformed by the word of God. And indeed, as we go on to see in what is said next, they and their children and their children's children shall live there forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Who is the servant David? It is Jesus Christ. And in this day, as we heard in our gospel reading, Jesus is wanting to do something. We are at a point that is like Holy Week in a very particular way. This is a time of true crisis in the life of the church. But the word crisis means opportunity. The word crisis means a crossroads. And as we heard in that reading from the gospel, St. John interprets the machinations of the Sanhedrin. Remember, the Sanhedrin were the 70 ruling elders of Israel. And they thought by getting rid of Jesus that they would then be able to arrest the catastrophe that would come upon the holy place. And of course, they did arrest it for a time, but it would come upon Israel in the year 70 AD. But what they did not understand is what St. John so clearly understands when he comments, Caiaphas did not say this on his own, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was about to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, now listen to this, but to gather into one the dispersed children of God. To gather into one the dispersed children of God. It's throughout the Bible. This is what God always does after the exile. He draws his people together. And we are being called to a radical faith. We are being called to be a people who truly take Holy Week, not as just one week of the year, but the week that defines everything that we do in our lives. And what happens to people like this? We are converted. What happens to people like this? We don't run from the world, but we engage the world. What happens to a people like this? We become people who are filled with mercy, who are filled with compassion. What happens to people like this? We see how broken and lost our world is, and how the gods of this age are destroying people. What happens to a people like this is that more and more we become communities of invitation, communities that are willing to love, communities that are willing to suffer, and indeed willing to lay down our lives, both figuratively and perhaps literally, for the gospel. And let me conclude by referring to the beautiful collect that we heard this morning and prayed. O God, who have made all those reborn in Christ a chosen race and a royal priesthood, that's us. We are chosen. You're chosen because of your baptism. You're a royal priesthood because of your confirmation. Grant, we pray, the grace to will and do what you command. That's the church after the exile, that both wants to will and to do what God commands, that the people called to eternal life may be one in faith of their hearts and in the homage of their deeds. I am thankful for the prophetic words of Father Ratzinger, for the faithful witness of the church, and that although we could not choose to live at this time, this is the time in which we are living. May we be a people after the exile who are set on God's purposes and on God's mission more and more.